39th Psalm, verses 7 and 8, are these words. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. The psalmist asked a question that he gave a quick reply to. He said, and now, Lord, what wait I for? And then he responded with a positive affirmation, my hope is in Thee. Followed quickly by a prayer, deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. The greatest snare of the enemy is the trap of procrastination. Putting off until tomorrow that which must be done today. And this is particularly true with regards to our relationship to God. That is, leaving the life of sin, departing from a life of half-heartedness and unbelief to be given over completely to Him. Oftentimes the enemy will come to us with what seems to be an apparently intelligent excuse for procrastination. He frequently agrees that something ought to be done. However, now is not the time. Put it off until another day. I attended the United States Congress on Evangelism in Minneapolis, Minnesota, a few years ago. One of the things that has stood out in my memory was a black light drama that was presented on Wednesday evening following the message of the evening. The central message of the drama was the lesson of the danger and the folly of procrastination. The place, the scene, was in hell. The chief character was Satan. The supporting characters were demons. The plot or the plan was simply this: Satan was telling his demons, go up on the freeway of life, where the action is, and come back to me with a proposal as to how we can populate this kingdom of the lost with the greatest number of people. And one by one, they would go up and come back from the freeway of life, and they would have various ideas, various propositions. Satan didn't seem to be too impressed. But finally, one day, a demon came in full of glee, and he said, Satan, I have the plan. It's a simple plan, but Satan, I've used it, and it's working, and it will do the job. What is it? Simply this. I go up on the freeway of life. I engage in conversation with the busy people up there on the freeway of life. I talk to them about religious things, even about spiritual things. I engage in a conversation something like this. You have a spiritual need, don't you? Yes, I do. You really ought to do something about it. Yes, I ought to, and I'm going to. And on, but then this is the punchline, Satan. I say, yes, you ought to do something. But you don't have to do it today. There's plenty of time. Just wait until tomorrow. And Satan, it's doing the job, and one by one, and hundreds by hundreds, and thousands by thousands, all we have to do is agree with people about spiritual concern, but tone down their sense of urgency and say, you don't have to do anything about it now. There's plenty of time. Wait until tomorrow. But the psalmist says, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Telling us tonight that there is no need to wait. Many lessons from God's word could point out to us tonight the dangers and the follies of procrastination. I would only encourage you to join with David, who said, and now, Lord, there's no need for me to wait, for I have hope on this 8th night of September 1974, and my hope is in Jesus Christ. You can pray the prayer before you leave this service. Deliver me from all my transgressions and make me not the reproach of the foolish. Now there is no need to wait. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Why is there no need to wait? There is no need to wait tonight, for our hope is in Him. And if our hope is in Him, then it is in Him because we do not have to wait for light. We live in a world of darkness, that is spiritual darkness. Oh, I know that much has come to brighten the world, and the day spring from on high visited this world. And because He visited this world, there is a light that will lighten the heart and life of every individual. In spite of all of the darkness in our generation, I thank God tonight we do not have to wait for light, for Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I don't like darkness. I never have. Kind of grew up in an atmosphere at home where they were a little bit fearful of the dark. In fact, at the Johnson home, we always slept with a light on in the house. I don't know. It must kind of come from my father. My father evidently has an inherent fear of the darkness. I well remember that when I was a child and a teenager, if there was a noise at the door or something unusual, some unusual sound, I'd hear from the other room my father saying, Helen, go see what that is. I don't know why I'm the way I am, but I have a sense of fear of the dark. If I want my dad to know I told that, I'll tell him myself. I don't need any reporters. I don't need any help. I don't like darkness. While I have a sense of fear of physical darkness, I especially tonight have a sense of fear of spiritual darkness. And I would encourage every one of you tonight to recognize what Jesus said in John 12:35, when He said, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. We don't have to wait for light tonight, for Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We do not have to wait tonight. Our hope is in Him. Why? Our hope is in Him who is the truth. A long time ago, I read to you about the trial this morning. The same man in that setting at one point asked the question, what is truth? What is truth? It's not really a new question today. It's been asked many, many, many ways. Johnny Cash came along a few short years ago. I can't do it like he did, but he came along and said, hi, I'm Johnny Cash. And he sang a little bit, and he keeps on singing. And he sang a popular song based on this question, what is truth? The answer in Pilate's day, the answer in our day, is one in the same. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in John 8:32, he said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I praise God tonight that I'm a preacher in a church, that I'm a part in this particular setting of a Holiness College campus that is dedicated to the central business of telling to our world that is on a relentless search that you need not search any further. You need not grope in darkness. You need not wander in an exercise of futility, for you can have the answer in Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to everything that's good. He's the truth that liberates from sin. They sang to us about it tonight. Everybody's singing about freedom. So many kinds of liberation movements. But Jesus Christ has been the greatest liberator the world has ever known anything about it. And he still wants to liberate everyone who is bound by the bondage of sin. You don't have to wait for truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. You don't have to wait tonight for a Savior. You don't have to wait for a sacrifice for your personal sin. I endeavored by the help of the Spirit this morning to talk to you about Jesus Christ, who he is. And a part of that message was that he is Jesus Christ, the sacrifice for sin. What's it all about? He said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. A lot of people are all hung up about a lot of things. Some people are hung up on the issue of loneliness and despair. I can see that some are already doing something about the feeling of loneliness. And a Holiness College is a pretty good place to do something about that. Be careful. It may lead to a dog's life. But people are hung up about different kinds of philosophies. Not sure of where they're going. Not sure of what they believe. Not sure of who is going to lead them through the maze and the storms of life. You don't have to go through this life alone. One of the primary benefits of having him as the Lord of your life is not only to have him as master, controller, and director, but to have him as your constant companion and friend. The surest answer to the loneliness of the individuals of our time is not our expertise in counseling, but our ability to lead men and women, young people, boys and girls, into a right relationship with him who said, I am come to seek and to save. He wants to have fellowship with us. He will give us purpose. He will give us meaning. He will give us understanding. He will give us direction. I thank God tonight that I do not have to wait. You do not have to wait. Those that we minister to do not have to wait for hope. For our hope is in him. Him who is the truth, the light, and the Savior. You don't have to wait tonight. You don't have to wait for an invitation. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and will sup with him, and he with me. You don't have to wait tonight for an invitation to come away from that which is questionable, from that which is evil, from that which is misleading, from that which is immoral, from that which will lead you away from him rather than to him. We live in a world that's pretty careless. We live in a world that really has very little sense of purpose. We live in a world that's lost its moral anchors, its moral sense of well-being and decency. Somebody said we We've come through an era of cafeteria-style morality, where you simply go down the line, take what you want, think little thought of who it hurts or what damage it may do. Just live it up, man. Be yourself. Be free. Don't be all hung up by any old-time, old-fogey kind of restriction. I made a reference to that, and a lawyer came to me out in the Northwest, a young attorney from the church, one of the churches in Spokane. And he said, Talmadge, it's true. It's cafeteria-style morality, all right. But he said, Talmadge, when you minister to young people, you ought to tell them that there's a cash register at the end of the line, and they pay for what they take. I know we're on a holiness college campus, but I also know we live in a very evil day that has let down just about every bar of restraint. And I challenge you on this campus to hear the invitation of the light, the truth, the Savior, who beckons us away from all that would debase our lives and lead us away from that which is good and that which is holy, and find strength and direction and purpose in Him who will come to live and dwell and abide in our souls. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee, light, truth, Savior, invitation. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee, because I have in Thee an assurance of tomorrow. I thank God for the word of the Lord, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I'm so excited about being part of the Church of the Nazarene, and particularly about being a part of the Nazarene Young People Society, which at this particular time is telling to its generation that Jesus is the hope, that Jesus is the answer, that there is a way out, that there is a way up, that there is a way through, and Jesus Christ is that way. And through it all, it is an assurance of hope for tomorrow. A preacher friend of mine boarded a plane in a Midwestern state. Didn't pay too much attention to the one who was seated by him until he was served a meal. When they were served their meals, he bowed his head in prayer of thanks. As he lifted his head, he turned, and the men next to him had just thanked the Lord for his meal. He immediately recognized that man next to him as the person of George Beverly Shea. He engaged in conversation, told him who he was, that he was a preacher in the Church of the Nazarene. He said, Preacher, you'd be interested to know that a few weeks ago, I went for the closing hours of the life of my holiness, Preacher Father. We had an unusual experience in those closing hours. He said, as the end drew near, and all of us were aware of it, my father said, Children, I want you to do something for me. I would like to have a piece of paper and a pencil. They granted his request, gave him a piece of paper and a pencil. He said, Now I would like for you to leave the room. They granted his request. He took the pencil and the paper, and in his feeble strength, he penned three lines. George Beverly Shea said, Preacher, my father didn't leave me too much of this world's goods, but what he left us on that paper is a rich inheritance. For my holiness preacher father, who had not waited, but who had found hope in Jesus Christ, penned as his last will and testament, Life has been sweet, the promises are true, and glory is mine. With that, he said, Preacher, My father laid it down and went to be with his God. He didn't leave us much of this world's goods, but he left us hope in Jesus Christ. I thank God tonight that for college students, for moms and dads, for adults in this congregation, there is no need to wait for an assurance of hope in the life hereafter. Justin the Martyr, one of the early Christian defenders of the faith, was arrested for his apologies of the Christian faith. That is the defense of it. He was an eloquent defender of the Christian gospel and the Christian faith. He was tried in the court of a man named Rusticus. Rusticus, the prefect, his judge. And Rusticus was distraught with this man, Justin. He did his best to get him to deny his faith in Jesus Christ, cast away his confidence. But he would not recant. He would not give in. He would not back down. And finally, that judge, in all of his frustration and in a bit of fury and in a mocking manner, said, Justin, do you suppose, are you so foolish to assume that after you have given your life in martyrdom for this gospel that you say you believe in, are you so foolish to suppose and assume that you'll ascend into some kind of heaven and receive there some kind of reward? Justin the Martyr had more than philosophy. He had more than just an identification with the ecclesia or the church. He had more than just the theories of men. He had a deep, settled peace in his soul. He had a faith built on Jesus Christ. And he said, Your Honor, I not only suppose, I not only assume, but I am fully persuaded that when I have given my life here today, that I will ascend into heaven, and there I will receive a reward. I thank God that even down in 1974, that for young people, adults, or whatever, that there is no need to wait tonight. No need to put off until tomorrow. What needs to be done tonight? What do I wait for, Lord? My hope is in Thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I am persuaded that this evening I have spoken to young people who have definite spiritual needs. There's sin in your life that needs to be forgiven. There are those that have been wonderfully forgiven who have not been sanctified wholly. I believe in God's call to holiness. I believe in God's power to sanctify and make you holy. And if you want to have a successful college life and career, begin it and continue it, not in your own power, but in the power of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. And there is no limit at what can happen if coming from these halls of learning, dedicated to education in a Christian atmosphere, if going out from this place, Dr. Smith, will be a mighty army of some of the greatest young people in all the world who have something plus, and that plus being the greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. And if you're a mom or dad and you need spiritual help, you don't have to wait any longer. Jesus is the answer. Our Father and our God, we've endeavored tonight to preach this simple little message in the power of your Holy Spirit. We have desired only one thing, and that is to draw people's attention to the urgency and to the possibility of seeking you now while you may be found, calling on you while you are near. We thank thee for your name tonight. We thank you for your power. Give us of thy Spirit right now. Make it possible tonight for the blessed Spirit of God to work and move freely and easily. Don't let anyone quench the Spirit, but may everyone who has a need be quick to respond. We ask it in thy name and for thy glory. Will you stand, please? I want Hardy to lead us in singing. There's something about that name. I want you that have definite needs to be quick to respond. There's no need to wait.
Christians be in an attitude of prayer. Come on tonight, my young friend.